Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, the big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing, that nasty thing called caregiver burnout. Hey, we have an exciting show planned for you today, along with my lovely co-host, Adrienne Gruberg, who cannot make it today because I didn't give her enough notice because this is a pre-recorded show and she's usually available on Tuesdays, but we're doing this in advance because my guest can't do it on Tuesdays. So we're doing it on a day that's good for her. Anyway, this is Cassidy Bastian, a certified nurse's aide since she was 18. My gosh, and now she's like 82. And she's done it all, folks, from private care to skilled nursing facilities. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. If you're new to this show, and we get many new listeners every week, especially in our new simulcast Blab television network platform, I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are, well, let's see, they're caring and they're selfless and they're sacrificial. Oh, yeah, they're also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. That's why the airlines tell you when you go on a plane to put your oxygen mask on first, right? In the event of an emergency, before you help your child with their mask, because they know that, you know what, if you don't do that, if you don't put your needs above their needs, you're going to black out and you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing, just when we need another thing. And that's called the grief process. Ouch, double ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. You can't go under it, over it, around it. No shortcuts. You got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you are stuck. Hey, I would like to take this time to thank my last week's guest, live radio show, Catherine Lee Scott, talking about her book, Last Dance at the Savoy, and how to keep romance alive when you are a spousal caregiver. And I'm a spousal caregiver, so that was a really good show for me. You can hear that interview on videocast on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. All right, enough of that. Cassidy, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today, and I really appreciate it. Why don't you just take a minute or two and tell us a little bit about just who is Cassidy Bastian, and then we'll get into, you know, the Caregiver Hub after you introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Well, as Dave mentioned, I am a certified nurse's aide of 13, going on 14 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
It is. It is something that is my passion, and I love old people. I love old people.
Well, that's good, because one day you are going to be an old person. So love yourself.
Absolutely. I only hope I have a caregiver as good as myself to take care of me when I'm old. But
we can hope, can't we?
That's a whole nother show. But let's see. Yes, I've done everything. I've mainly worked in skilled nursing facilities. I've worked days. I've worked nights. I've worked evenings. Yeah. I've done restorative. I spent 3 years in the Alzheimer's unit doing activities and restorative. Wow. And now I'm doing home care. And I've done private care and I've just kind of done everything. I haven't worked in a hospital. I am very passionate about end of life care and hospice, although I have not worked in hospice, but you know, as a certified nurse's aide, end of life care is, it is what we do. So that's a passion of mine as well. So I'm a caregiver. I'm a certified nurse's aide. It's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I do. So
well, that says it all. I'm a caregiver. You know, I don't know why, but home health care seems to be where a lot of professional caregivers, private caregivers, nurses, registered nurses land. Why do you think that is?
Oh, why do we land in home care? You want to know why? Because
please.
The nursing industry is unforgiving. It's rough. It is unappreciative at times. And as the low man on the totem pole, as a CNA in a nursing facility, in a nursing setting, it is extremely difficult. There's so many different factors that come into that as well. I mean, you know, care is one thing. Just to be able to provide high quality, adequate care is a skill in itself. But to be able to deal with the politics of nursing, to be able to deal with nurse managers, directors of nursing, and nurses themselves, it's stressful. And
oh my gosh, you mean to tell me that there is politics in nursing?
Oh my goodness.
Who would have thought?
It's crazy rough, but we land in home care, I think, because that's where we go when we're burnt out. Because
and it's rewarding, isn't it? Tell me all the good things
about
home health care.
Home health care. The rewarding things about home health care. Well, we take care of usually one person at a time.
So no stress, no pressure, nobody looking over your shoulder all the time.
No,
and your own hours.
You do. You make your own hours. And
get out into the daylight and the sunshine.
For the most part, if your client is not homebound, you know, sometimes it is very difficult for them to get out. I'm lucky. My little lady, I've been taking care of her for 2 years, and it'll be 2 years in September. She's 86, and she's a little spitfire, and we are always...
She loves you.
Oh, absolutely. We love each other, and... So there's that aspect, which is really, really nice. A lot of home health caregivers float around. You know, they pick up where they can. A lot of them end up working for more than one agency.
Really? Is that hard?
Well, I think that they have to really delegate their time and their schedule between the two, because sometimes if you don't have a consistent client like I have, that, you know, I'm always there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 24 hours a day, 4 days a week, as a live-in caregiver. And she's steady. You know, she's somebody who, you know, is a steady client for me. But, you know, there's definitely caregivers with home health or home health that float around and go where the needs are. And in home health, you have to be flexible like that. You have to be willing to pick up where the needs are. Otherwise, you may not get 40 hours this week.
Does the quality of care go down when they start doing two or three different places?
I think so, because sometimes they book themselves a little too much. They don't give themselves that leeway. But you'll find a lot of caregivers, whether they are home health or in nursing facilities, that work to the bone. They work, they'll do the overtime. They're always there in a pinch when someone calls in.
So they're setting themselves up for burnout.
Absolutely. I think so. But I mean, there's some people who thrive in that. That's how they thrive. I've met incredible certified nurses aides who thrive in that environment. And
you mean they're workaholics?
Pretty much, yeah.
No life, no husband, no kids, no whatever. They live
But
out
you're
there.
happy when
they
you're
live in their car.
You're happy when your butt is in a sling and you're working short that person's going to come in.
No time to think about the really important things in life. Just focus.
Absolutely.
Well, that's interesting. So how are professional caregivers who are paid caregivers and unpaid family caregivers similar, and how are they different? And do they suffer the same kind of burnout, in your opinion? Because you've been both, right?
Oh, how are they similar? Well, they're similar in the fact that they are providing, you know, one-on-one care for somebody. And in my personal opinion, my scope of care includes physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care. I think we are multi-dimensional people as human beings, and that's how we are, and our care should be no different. That's how I approach
Is this
care.
You or is this your agency?
This is me. This is
So
this
you
is
should
my
you should write the
care.
You should write the training manuals. They should put you in charge of that.
That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? But so they're similar in the fact that they are mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually caring for somebody.
That's very
but
nice.
They are different because as professional caregivers, we signed up for the crazy. We fully signed up and said.
So you did sign up for this. So many times the private or the unpaid caregivers, I didn't sign up for this.
Absolutely.
But you guys actually did sign up for it.
That's right. That's the difference is, you know, we get a break. We get to leave and go home to our homes and have that break. Whereas family caregivers are in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 364 or five, you know, like they don't get a break.
Right.
And so that's the difference. And the burnout is different.
Is it? How's it different?
It's different because let's see, how do I explain this?
Yeah, I thought just burnout was burnout, you know, fatigue, depression, all that stuff.
It is. How am I going to explain this? So family caregivers, like I said, they don't have any respite. They are continuously their lives. They give up their, sometimes they give up their everything, their houses, their
jobs. So it's worse. It's worse.
I personally feel so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you
because
know,
you're
when
right.
We,
they didn't sign up for it.
Right.
They lost their job, typically, they gave up their career. Mm-hmm. They're living in an environment that they have, you know, 24/7 that they don't want to live with their mother. Or they don't want to live with Uncle Joe, who curses every, you know, 5 seconds or whatever. and they just feel like they're in prison. So that would seem like a different kind of burnout than the kind where it's just like, I have a bad job or whatever. And at least I can come home and
right.
you know, lock myself in my room or something.
Right. Or just take the time. You know, I know for myself being, I mean, I am only living 4 days a week, but mm-hmm. you know, on those trying days where if I was working a 9 to 5, I could go home and have a glass of wine. You know, I can't do that as a live-in caregiver. So it really takes a lot of patience and understanding to be able to separate yourself from, you know, recognizing, okay, you know, right now I need a moment and I need to be a caregiver, you
sure.
know? So I think that's the line as far as professionals go, but it's
yeah.
hard for it's hard for family caregivers because they are emotionally tied to who they're caring for.
Right.
And it's not to say that as professional caregivers, we're not emotionally tied to the people we care for, because hopefully if you're a professional caregiver, you're in it for the right reasons. And
right.
it's because you're compassionate and you love taking care of people. But
well, it sounds like as
yeah.
bad as it is for you and for people like you, probably 90% of the unpaid family caregivers would give all of their teeth to have a 4 day a week job and get to go home and so on. So it's all
Absolutely.
Relative. you know, it's like the guy who, you know, didn't have a pair of shoes. He was complaining, but then he met a guy who didn't have any feet. And then he was complaining because he didn't have any feet. And the guy, I give this example a lot. The next guy he met didn't have any legs and so on. You can always find somebody in worse shape
right.
than you are. So tell us about your passion, the Caregiver Hub. How did that start? Why did it start? And how are you improving the caregiving world with this Caregiver Hub thing?
Well, the Caregiver's Hub. So
like I said, Caregivers with an S, Caregiver's
Hub. Yes, Caregiver's Hub.
Because I was looking for it and I typed in Caregiver Hub and another Caregiver Hub came up.
Yeah, so there's
Make sure we get the right Caregiver's
Hub. Yes, Caregiver's Hub.
Got it.
And so as I said, I've been a certified nurse's aide since I was 18. It's the only job that I've done and it's kind of like the only thing I know. And about 3 years ago, I was in this funk where I kind of was looking for something else to do and thought, you know, maybe I'll be a network marketer, right? So I dove into that and I learned.
Can we tell which company? Are they still in business?
they are. They are. But, you know, I learned.
Was it potions, lotions, or pills?
Actually, it was blogging information.
Oh, okay.
So kind of dabbled in a little bit of blogging, I started doing videos on YouTube and started doing a bunch of different stuff. And it all had to do with network marketing and was really kind of away from caregiving. And of course, I was still working as a certified nurse's aide. I mean, you got to pay the bills. And if network marketing isn't paying your bills, you better have a job. But you know what? Even through all of that, I was searching for this thing. Okay, what makes Cassidy Cassidy? And what are you going to do with your life? And so with my marketing experience and what I learned there, and with my philosophies of care and how I see this industry and how I see certified nurses aides and family caregivers and Alzheimer's and dementia. I mean, I really dove into Alzheimer's and dementia when I worked in the Alzheimer's unit and it became a passion of mine because I fell in love with them. I fell in love with the people and figuring out what they needed and how to help them was a puzzle to me. And I was really, really lucky that I worked in a facility that sent me to a TIPA Snow conference and said, okay, if you're going to be the sole activities person in a 30-bed unit with Alzheimer's people, you need to understand. And so I dove into that, and that's where I kind of found.
And tell people who don't know what TIPA Snow is.
Okay, so TIPA Snow is, she's my guru. She's my guru because
so it's a person.
Absolutely. TIPA okay. Snow is, I believe she did OT. She's an occupational therapist out of Chapel Hill in North Carolina, or South Carolina, or whatever. And so she has this approach for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And it's called the Gentle Care Positive Approach to Care philosophy. And so
as opposed to the ungentle care, the harsh.
So the thing that I learned from TIPA and that I learned through my experience with Alzheimer's is the fact that Alzheimer's has no rules.
Really?
And your brain is like a computer. When you have Alzheimer's, your brain is missing files. And it affects your mobility, your speech. I mean, everything, your memory, short-term memory, your long-term memory. And so that information isn't there. And so that's why when I say there's no rules, I say everything that we learn from the time that we are a child to where we are now, we've learned how to use a spoon, how to tie our shoes, how to go to the bathroom, how to dress, all those things. Alzheimer's pretty much takes everything that you've learned and takes it all out. People don't know what a spoon is. They don't know what the routine of getting up in the morning and getting dressed and going to breakfast and this and this and this. It's just not there. The information's not there. So we set people with Alzheimer's and dementia up to fail every time we put them in a routine that does not serve them anymore. Hmm. And it's hard for people who are caring with people with Alzheimer's and dementia to grasp that if they don't understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I read a book one time. I don't remember the author, but it was talking about living in the moment. And with Alzheimer's, you know, the best you can hope for is just to give them a moment here, a moment there. For example, let's say if you're a relative and you say, hey, remember when we were 4 years old, we used to build, you know, a house out of the covers in our bedroom and we used to laugh and then Dad came in and he knocked it all down. And all of a sudden, she's laughing like she's never laughed for like 30 seconds.
Right.
And you have this moment, you connect it, and then it's gone.
Right.
And you know what? That moment might make her feel great for the rest of the day. And she doesn't even know why she feels great. Just feels all warm and fuzzy right. inside. Might make her feel great for the whole week.
Right.
But that's what an Alzheimer's caregiver, according to this book, needs to strive for, is to just, you know, forget your agenda. Forget trying
Absolutely.
To make her remember you or trying to get her to eat herself. Or
because
just,
it's not about you anymore.
Yeah. Just give them a moment and you can tell what they are because put on some headphones of their favorite music
right.
and all of a sudden you'll see them light up. Just keep doing things that make them light up.
Right.
And it's all about them. And then 5 seconds later, you know, it's like that movie, the Notebook.
Yeah.
You know, one minute they're dancing and they're having a romantic moment. The next minute, who are you? What are you doing in my room? Get out of here. You know, and
yeah.
you know, it was a good moment while it lasted. Right.
So, yeah. So that is where the Caregivers Hub started for my passion for what I do. And my understanding and my knowledge and my experience about those things. And the Caregivers Hub is my platform to share with people the things that I know and to educate people on those things and help them understand. I just feel so passionate about it. And so it's funny. It's funny because I just wanted to start a Facebook fan page and now it's turned into a support group. And it's mainly a support group because I got kind of sick and tired of the rules of other support groups. So I said, you know what? You know, I want a place where family caregivers can come and learn from other family caregivers and CNAs can come and learn from other CNAs and they can have a dialogue that bridges that gap between the two and a place where people can create awareness and, you know, they can come to the Caregivers Hub and find a link to your, you know, this radio show and,
yeah.
and other places, because I don't believe that, I believe that everybody should be able to share whatever they want to share, regardless of, whether it's a fan page or a blog or something else. And so, and I found that in a lot of different groups because I belong to a lot of different Alzheimer's and family caregiver support groups and they're all on Facebook and they all have their own rules and I've been kicked out of some of them and yeah. I've been accepted in others. And so that's what the Caregivers Hub is. And it's really a place for people who are providing care to come and share and learn and grow. That's
now,
what I want it to be.
Does it also, do you find people work? I mean, what doesn't it do? In other words, is it a, do you sometimes connect people who are looking for a job with someone who, you know, has a position opening at an agency, for example? I mean, does it get into that or is it mostly support?
It's mostly support. Definitely, I get people who say, you know, I want to become a caregiver or what do I do? I'm looking for care. And, you know, then there's usually a dialogue and then I direct them towards usually if they I always strongly suggest if you are looking to be a caregiver that you get into it for the right reasons.
Tell me what the wrong reasons are.
A paycheck.
You know? Really? You mean a caregiver should not consider caregiving just because it's a job, just to get the paycheck?
No, I don't think so. Not.
And tell me why, because there's some people out there who are considering this.
Okay. So how am I gonna dive into this lightly?
Let's say it's your daughter and say, Mom, I think I really want to get into caregiving because I heard you can make a lot of money doing it. And, you know, she just keeps saying money, 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 money. And you're going to tell her what?
And I would tell her, I'd ask, are you capable of putting someone else's needs before your own?
Good question.
Because if you're not able to do that, then I don't feel like it's the job for you. If you cannot learn how to handle behaviors from people, whether they have Alzheimer's and dementia or not, then this probably isn't the job for you. If you're going to take everything personal that nurse managers and residents say to you, it's probably not the job for you. If you are not compassionate and care for the well-being of other people, it's not the job for you. And nothing infuriates me more than people who show up for a paycheck and don't listen to the people that they're caring for and respect how they wish to be cared for. It makes me really mad, like really mad, because we are here.
That means you're really a caregiver.
Well,
because you're the real deal.
We are here to, I call it soul work. Okay. Caregiving is soul work. And it's our job and our responsibility to improve the quality of life of people that we care for. And if that's not your ultimate goal or you don't understand that, you need to figure out a way to understand that or find something else, because your quality of care is everything. And in this industry, there are a million and one horror stories out there of not only professional caregivers, but, you know, even family caregivers.
Relatives,
that find themselves in this place where they don't know how to handle these people that they're caring for. And the stories are horrible. And I mean, like, for instance, one lady brought her husband with Alzheimer's and dementia to the hospital. I don't know what for, but he was on finger foods only, which is okay. You know, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, maybe a cookie, you know, something that they can hold with their hand and that they can eat, because this person was eating wrappers and things like that, right? Can't differentiate between this or that. So she explained it to the nurses in the hospital. She explained it to dietary in the hospital. And upon admit, explained it to everybody. She went home for an hour. She came back and her husband is eating an ice cream cup in a styrofoam cup and has eaten half of the styrofoam cup. And she's frustrated. And now her opinion of caregivers is they don't listen when I speak. They aren't doing their job. They don't know what they're doing. And I'll tell you the truth, that's the general consensus among family caregivers, is that nobody can take care of their family like they do. And I understand that. But then there's those people like us, like me, out there who don't do those things, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to be a really rotten caregiver to do the wrong things. Right. I mean, I have a gas station. That's my primary business. Or maybe caregiving is my primary business. You know, it's a wash there. Yeah. But all the time we get people coming into the station who you can tell an elderly person, you know, holding the hand of obviously an adult child, not a child anymore, an adult son or daughter. And the way these kids talk to their parents is so disrespectful. And here they're out in public, you know, they're touching things. Don't touch that. Didn't I tell you? I mean, there's like they're scolding a six-year-old right there in public for everybody to. And I'll tell you, in the movie City Slickers, mm-hmm. what was his name? Palance, James Palance? You know, the old guy, Curly.
Curly, yeah. Okay.
Curly came into my gas station. And he's like really old. Really, really old. It was must have been, you know, just a few months before he died. Mm-hmm. And still tall, strapping guy. You know, I mean, I looked up to him like that, you know, just like Billy Crystal did. And so I thought I recognized him. I says, "Are you?" And with a snarly voice, he just cut me off. He says, "No, I'm not." Okay. And then his daughter looked over at me. He is. He's just really cantankerous when he's on the road, you know. And then, you know, she, whatever. So even just being a little disrespectful or a lot disrespectful, especially in public, you know, how would you want to be treated if you were 84 years old and you lost some of your marbles like you know, in the movie Robin Hood with my memory. Anyway, it's the golden rule, you know. And so like I tell people at the beginning of the show, there's only three kinds of people in the world. There are caregivers. There are those who are going to become caregivers. And there are those who are going to need a caregiver one day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be careful about what you do because I kind of believe in karma and the golden rule.
Absolutely.
Now, before we continue, we need to take a break. So okay. Don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases, the list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with, what is your name again? Cassidy.
Yeah.
Bastian.
Yeah.
I love that last name. It's like,
actually, it's Bastien.
Oh, Bastien. Well, thank you. Yeah. I usually ask the guests, how do you pronounce that?
It's a common, well, common.
It sounds like a cathedral or something in France or Belgium.
Yeah.
So what nationality is that name?
Oh, my dad. So I think it's English. I don't know.
Really? I bet there's French in there somewhere.
Well, my mother's side is French, Canadian, Irish, and German. But my dad's, his people came from England.
Well,
he's from the East Coast. Anyway,
we're supposed to be talking about burnout. Right. Have we been talking about burnout
I
so
think
far?
So.
We must be because must that's be. What it The conversation always comes back to burnout.
Right.
Like, you know, what are the signs of burnout? What are the signals that tell people they need help? You know, mm-hmm. How do you ask for help? Why don't we just go over those three right off the bat?
Okay, awesome. So what are the signs of caregiver burnout? Well, for me, I know I'm getting burnt out when I have
this isn't a comedy routine, right? Because there's a guy who says, you know you're burned out when, you know.
Ba-dum-bum. No, My patience is very, very small when I'm getting burnt out. Little things that don't usually bother me irritate the heck out of me. Or, you know, the lady I take care of, she has a little bit of dementia and she's bipolar. And so that can make an interesting thing. And I know that I need to take a break and recharge when her normal little forgetful things really start to irritate me, or her behaviors are really starting to get on my nerves.
So then what do you do to fix that? Or you just keep going until you blow up?
Well, no, I don't. Usually my best thing that I have found, if I'm in that moment, right, is to simply walk away. Yeah. And to understand that being a professional caregiver means that I have to do that before it gets to another level. So I always just say, okay, you know, if she's in a moment, then I will just leave her alone and say, if you need anything, I'll be out in the living room, and just kind of create that space for me to go somewhere else and kind of defragment and, you know, calm down a little bit. It's hard when you're living because you can't, I mean, you know, anything can happen in that 5 minutes that you take, but that's kind of what I do. As far as professional, like as a CNA, one thing that I want professional caregivers and CNAs to know about burnout is, number one, your facility is your job. It is not your life. And all of us are working shorthanded, and all of us have heavy workloads. I mean, our patient to staff ratio is usually very high in most facilities in this country. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I want professional caregivers and CNAs to know is that you have other options. You are a caregiver, you have a license, there are other facilities, there are other avenues, there are other things that you can do. If you're not happy as a CNA, try restorative. It's a whole different ballgame. If you're not happy in a facility, try home care. If you're not happy in home care, try a hospital. You know, I mean, you have other avenues. Don't ever think to yourself that you are just a caregiver or you are just a CNA, because you're not. You're more than that. And that's what I want people to see, is I saw the value in myself as a caregiver and a CNA, and that's where the Caregivers Hub comes from. That's where this is happening. And see the value in yourself and know that you are an asset.
Yeah. That's good. Good advice. Yeah. Excellent advice. And you take your own advice, of course, right?
Well, for the most part, for the most part.
Cool. And does your care receiver know when you are there and that you need a break, or is she kind of oblivious to it?
No, we're pretty in tune with each other.
Really?
Usually I'm pretty vocal and bubbly, and if there's something bothering me, I'm pretty
quiet.
She
knows something's up.
And
how does she react when she sees that you're having a rough time?
Sometimes she gets a little feisty.
Throws fuel on the fire.
A little bit, but you know, then there's those moments where, you know, maybe we take a break and she goes to her makeup table and she cleans things up. I mean, she's got her makeup table every day, and that's what she does. And, you know, and that's fine if that's what, you know, that's what she wants to do. But then, you know, her and I, maybe we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about why I was upset or why she was upset. Or, you know, I always try to make sure that I have the dialogue with her, that if she needs to talk to me about something, that she can come to me. You know, if I see she's having a rough day and I say, are you doing okay? And she says, no. And I say, well, is there anything that I can do for you? And if she says no, I leave it like that, because it's just going to upset her to keep dabbling those things. So yeah. I think that having the dialogue, if you can, I mean, there's times when you're caring for somebody who's not going to give you a dialogue, you know, so you really have to make sure that, you know, I personally have to differentiate between, okay, caregiver mode, me mode.
Yeah. My mother died in September, just this last September, from dementia. She's had it for like 5 or 6 or 7 years, hard to tell exactly when. But you know, she was just always tired and always lonely. And, you know, I could go over there and spend 5 hours with her. And then I'll get a phone call. Well, this was when she could call. Mm-hmm. Or I will call and she'll say, "Where you been? I haven't seen you in a year." And I says, "I was just here yesterday." Right. So I like to take pictures, you know, to show her, "See, that's me. Yeah. We were here. We were doing this and that."
Right.
But there are so many things that you can do to just, you know, I brought a coloring book one time. I brought a photo album one time, mm-hmm. headphones, the music. I mean, it's like having a six-year-old. You have to plan the day. You have to plan the activities, mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're a family caregiver. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's rough. But it's rewarding. I'm told that it's the most rewarding thing. And I'm very grateful because I wasn't very close with my mother all those years. She was a wonderful woman and all that. She's my mother. But, you know, mothers get on your nerves and all of that stuff. But we had a very, very close relationship towards the last couple of years. And it was a precious relationship. It was a role reversal, you know, where I was the parent, she was the child. Mm-hmm. It was really rewarding, really nice. And I'm glad that it all happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very fortunate because, you know, she wasn't violent and she wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. screaming and doing things. I mean, I would sing at the senior center and they had an Alzheimer's wing over there. And, you know, every now and then we would hear this bone tingling scream, you know, from somebody just because who knows why.
Yeah.
And then she was fine. You know, it's just like she had to like get this thing out of her system. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are so many different options. So how do you deal with the emotions of relinquishing the role as caregiver? What exactly does that mean to you?
So there comes a point in family caregiving when the strongest of us can make that entire journey, you know, from the beginning of the disease process to the end. And there are some of us who would really like to, but can't. And I think that having an awareness about saying, okay, I no longer can emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally take care of my loved one. And maybe they need to go to a facility, or maybe somebody else needs to come in and do this. And there's so many emotions that come with that, right? Because I see it a lot in the Alzheimer's and dementia support groups and family caregiving support groups is they feel guilty for placing their loved one in a facility. They feel like they failed.
Yeah, and they made promises they shouldn't have made.
Right.
I'll never put you in a nursing home.
Right.
And they should have just said, "I will make sure you get the best care available."
Right. But I think, you know, I think as children, we all want to do the best by our parents, sure. You know, and we feel like it's an obligation. And so the emotions that come with that and relinquishing your role as a caregiver, finally saying, you know, I cannot provide the best care for my loved one. Someone else can do better. I know that they can. But having that war with yourself of, is this the right thing? Or, you know, she mom goes in kicking and screaming, you know, and they feel like I'm horrible because I've stuck them here where they hate it. And then a week later, they're dancing at activities and they've got friends and things are different. But I have a friend. She is actually the admin in my support group, but she's from Tennessee, and she actually I sensed something was going on, and I asked her. I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Well, you know, I'm having a hard time finding my purpose in life. You know, I've cared for my mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's, and she passed away, and I was caring for my aunt, but now she's in an adult family home." And I kind of don't know who I am anymore. I've always associated as a caregiver. And so my advice to her was, you know, if that is something that you associate with, then maybe it's time for you to volunteer at the local nursing home or hospice and sit down and read to people or sit with them, you know, whatever is going to allow you to meet that need and still find who you are. So the emotional aspect of relinquishing your role as a caregiver is extremely difficult for a lot of family caregivers.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. What's the most heartbreaking story you've ever heard in your years of doing this?
Of a heartbreaking story in general?
You know, a caregiver story where you say, oh my gosh, you know, you thought you've heard it all. And then you hear a story and that just takes the cake. And maybe you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know what direction to lead them. Sometimes there aren't any answers, are there?
No. I mean, you know, we are all going through our own journeys in life. We're all in our own lanes and sometimes our lanes pass. And, you know, I think the most heartbreaking thing for me, you know, there's been a lot. And I would say the top three. One lady, she worked hard her whole life. I mean, she saved, she was a teacher, she took such good care of her children. She had a nest egg and she fell and broke her hip. And then she kind of went into dementia and then she kind of went into Alzheimer's. And then her son kind of stopped coming by. And then her son took all her money. And now she's a ward of the state and has a guardian at Lightham. And there's nobody to really say, I mean, you know, social workers do what they can and facilities do the best that they can. But, you know, that's one thing I want people to understand is that nursing facilities are rough. They are. Nobody wants to be in them. Nobody wants to put their loved one in there. But you know what? At the end of the day.
Or their cat.
Right. At the end of the day, there has to be people like me to go in.
Thank God there's people like you.
And love up on that person like they are your own. And you know, that's. And it was funny because every night she would scream and scream. And at 10 o'clock, I'd come in at night and she's just pissed off. She's screaming. And all the nurse's aides are sitting there just ignoring her, right? Because now this is a routine thing. And every night I come in and I say, okay, come with me. Get an ice cream, you know, little ice cream cups. And we go sit in a quiet corner. And I just would say to her, tell me what's going on. And it didn't matter that it didn't make sense, that it was, you know, the babies are burning. I mean, all sorts of weird stuff. And I would just go with her. Well, I'm so sorry you feel that way. You know, I wish I could do more. You know, just validating the fact that she felt that way. It didn't matter that it was a bunch of baloney. You know, all she needed was somebody to take a moment and sit with her and say, what's going on? And by the end of 45 minutes and we finished our ice cream cups, she's chill as a cucumber and on we go with the night. Now she's ready to go to bed. Nobody can get her to bed but Cassidy. I don't understand. You know, and
that would work, by the way, right?
It does work, but that's the thing is that's what I learned working in the Alzheimer's unit, you know, and a big part of that was knowing her history. Knowing she was from Texas, talking to her about Texas, doing a pattern interrupt to say, okay, so they grow watermelons in Texas, right? Did you ever, you know, asking all these questions, you know, if you know the background of who you're taking care of, especially with Alzheimer's and dementia, it's going to trigger those things that you can make that pattern interrupt. Does it always work? No. But do we do the best we can? Absolutely. But I mean, there's so many sad.
You're so wise, Cassidy. Have you written a book yet?
No.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
There's a book inside of you.
There is a book. I've heard
come
that.
Out, or you're going to, you know, it's like a baby being, you're in labor, and if it doesn't come out, it's going to hurt.
Well, I don't know. You've written
I'll
books.
I'll send you some CDs, How to Write a Book in 30 Days. All right. For me, I'm on my third one.
All right. That sounds like a good
Here's
idea.
Here's my first one. Shameless plug.
That's awesome.
And actually, if you guys go to my website, we will send you an e-version copy of that. And all you have to do is take this quick exam. Are you a candidate for burnout?
Yeah.
And we'll send you the answers. You find out if you are, and you get a free book.
Who can awesome. Turn
down a deal like that? How does someone get a hold of you?
How does someone get a hold of me? Okay. So Facebook, Cassidy Bastine. You can Google, well, you can't, well, I guess you can Google me. We'll see what happens. But Facebook, I'm
Googled
on.
I Googled you. It works.
It works. So, and so Facebook/caregiver Cassidy. And I think it says 13. Or you can go to search in Facebook, type in Caregivers Hub or hashtag.
Caregivers with an S.
Yeah. Caregivers Hub. and there you'll find the Facebook page. There's a link to the group. Join the group. All the information, all of the hangouts, we do Google Hangouts covering hospice and family caregiving resources. And on the 29th of this month, I am teaming up with my lovely, lovely lady, Rosa Lindsay. She's been doing Medicare for 20 years. She's been helping people do Medicare for 20 years. So I kind of harangued her and said, let's do some series on Medicare. So that starts on the 29th of this month.
Oh, make sure you keep me in the loop.
Absolutely.
I'll send my audience over to you as well, because everybody needs to know something about Medicare
That's
and
right.
Medicaid and Medi-Cal and all the metas.
And you know, I am on Instagram. I mean, you'll find, and I always keep my, I don't know if you can see the little caregiving heart there. It's always the same. If you know, if you see that, you found it. So
okay. And you have an email?
I do. It is caregivershub15@gmail.com.
caregivershub15@gmail.com. Well, that's awesome. And you're amazing. And
Thank you.
Do I have permission to maybe have you co-host with me sometimes? And
absolutely.
When
I would
Adrian
love
can't
it.
Make it, she's an amazing person. I'm sorry you weren't able to meet her.
I would absolutely love it. Like I said, though, I'm always off Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Otherwise, I'm 24-hour caregiving.
Well, that could be a problem.
But anytime you want to pre-record anything, let me
That's true. Well, do you have any last tidbits, pearls of wisdom that you can leave the family caregivers or the paid caregivers? Just something they can take away, because you know they're overwhelmed with everything they heard and they're not going to remember anything. Okay. But just if they forgot everything else you said and they just had to remember one tiny golden nugget of wisdom, what would you give them as their takeaway that they
Knowledge
can take
is
home?
Power. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And what does that mean?
That means if you are a professional caregiver, for the love of Pete, read your care guide. Make sure you know who the hell you're taking care of. If you have any questions, ask your nurse, ask your nurse manager. Do not be afraid to stand up and ask a question. Do not let facilities railroad you, because they will. Family caregivers, figure out what is going on. If that means that you need to contact me or Dave and say, this is a scenario and I need help, don't be afraid to ask for it. If you have been given a diagnosis of Alzheimer's and dementia, educate yourself on the 7 stages. Find out who Tipa Snow is and find the people and the information that's going to allow you to be a better caregiver.
So there's a book you would recommend. Has Tipa Snow written a book?
Ooh, I don't know. But she is definitely on YouTube. You can definitely Google her and you'll find her website.
Is this specifically for dementia, Alzheimer's?
Dementia and Alzheimer's. I mean, she is the guru. And she has helped me so much in how I understand Alzheimer's and dementia.
And that's a strange name. How do you spell it?
T-E-E-P-A.
Tipa, and then snow, like snow. The snow that falls from the ground.
And you will find her videos on YouTube.
Well, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Thank you so much for coming on, and
Absolutely.
it won't be the last time. And I'm so glad that I found you on the internet, or maybe you found, I don't know who found
Oh,
who,
I found
but
you first.
oh, how nice.
Yeah, I'm a smart person like that.
Yes, and you called me while I was riding my bicycle,
I did.
so
I did.
I try not to do that because I was already in one bicycle accident, but
Oh my
I
goodness.
wasn't on the phone though, so
Wow.
I
Don't answer
figure, yeah,
the
don't answer the phone. Well, God bless you all, and remember, we're here every Tuesday at noon Pacific time. So every one of these are recorded. They're recorded radio podcasts, and they're also recorded video podcasts on Blab. Just go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and like I said, take the free quiz. It's a short quiz. You get a free book. This book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, it's about my story, my wife's story. I married an amazing person. She 20 years ago had a stroke. Don't know why. Doctors don't know why, but she lost her speech. Imagine not speaking for 20 years. Can you imagine being paralyzed on your right side for 20 years? Yet she, after a short grieving period, because everybody grieves, she decided, you know what? God's faithful, God's sovereign. I still have faith in him. Everything happens for a reason. And by golly, I'm going to be the best that I can. And she decided she's just going to keep doing what she did before. And she was a gourmet cook. She was a wedding planner. She was an interior decorator. I mean, she has a resume like you wouldn't believe. And today she's cooking meals, gourmet meals. She's putting on dinner parties. She's decorating the whole house with one arm and one leg tied behind her back and duct tape over her mouth, basically. So, you know, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
So she makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. And see, that's what I'm passionate about. I can't help but promote her. And so my third book I'm writing now, the Capable Caregiver, they keep saying, no, this isn't a story about your wife. This is a story about caregivers. Quit talking about your wife. You know, so it's just a hard habit to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But thank you, and we will see you all next week. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on HealthStar Worldwide.